Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour, and it's time for Inspirational Wednesday, directed and hosted by myself, Diane Adams. As always, it's a privilege and an honor to come before you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray that everyone had a good week and deliverance was made where it was needed, and peace was found where there was no peace, and everybody is moving in the direction that God wants them to be in, because that's what's going to allow you a life of success. Well, tonight our lesson is not all about you, and it's time to set your priorities right. I'm coming from the book of Haggard, and we're going to be in the first chapter. We're going to read the first through the 15 verses, which is the entire first chapter. And for those who read the information I sent out on Monday to read the entire book of Haggard, and you probably noticed that it was only two chapters. So it was a very short book, but it's a book that has power. And as always, if anyone would like to lead us in prayer, you can touch the one button on your phone. I can open a mic and you could come across the airwave with prayers, because we must always give God the glory, the honor, and the praise for what he has done and doing in our lives. And he has a lot of promises for you. And we have to be grateful, because one of the worst sins in the world is the sin of ingratitude. As always, you know, after the program is over, if you would like to make any comments, ask for blessings, add to the program, do a testimony, give words of encouragement, always, it is always welcome, and you know, look forward to hearing from you. So at this time, if no one would like to pray, I'm going to go ahead and go to the throne of grace in prayer. After that, I'm going to come back and we're going to listen to some music that I think is appropriate for tonight. And after that, we're going to get right into the lesson. So here we go. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, the God that says he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the God that is a lover of our soul. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, dear God, with bowed down heads, dear God, and many have closed their eyes to give reference unto you, dear God. Heavenly Father, we come to you because there's no other help that we know. Heavenly Father, we come to you because without you, how could we make it? Heavenly Father, we come to you because you are in total control. Lord, we come to you because nothing happened unless you orchestrate it or allow it. Heavenly Father, we come to you because you're the author and the finisher of our faith. And Lord, we need you, and we can't make it without you, dear God. And Lord, we've given you glory in our prayers, and we pray in thanksgiving unto you, dear God. Heavenly Father, I pray that all of the things that are necessary to kind of turn this world around, dear God, look at our black youth on the street, dear God, what they're doing to one another, dear God. Look down upon our state right now. We have another governor, dear God, but I know you're part of the plan. Heavenly Father, look down upon our president, dear God. Protect him and his family, dear God. Heavenly Father, look down upon our neighbors, our friends, our enemies, and even our foes. Heavenly Father, look down upon this world that you created, dear God. And Lord, you told us we have to be in the world, but not of the world. Give us insight, dear God, that we will put you first so that all of our ways could be made straight. Lord, we're going to lean and depend on your everlasting arm. We realize that you said you'll never leave us or forsake us. We're going to trust you, dear God. And Heavenly Father, we're going to surrender ourselves unto you this day. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. And that's our prayer for tonight. And what I'm going to do is, because a lot of people have tuned into the station, so I'm going to give the title again, and I'm going to give the scripture again, and I'm going to play a song, and we're going to go straight into the lesson. The scripture is coming from the book of Haggai, the first chapter, the first through the 15th verse, and the title of this lesson is, It Is Not All About You. And it's time to set your priorities in order. And the song is a song I haven't played in a good while, but it's always something delightful to hear. So listen at the message and the music, and then we'll go on with the program. Thank you. I'm looking for this song. I got it. Listen and be blessed. Thank you.
Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't say what's left. I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to my offering. don't have much to bring. My heart's torn to pieces. It's my offering.
Take Me to the King, Tamla Mann. We all should have a desire to be brought before the King from time and time and time. Again, our lesson is coming from Haggai, the first chapter, the first through the 15th verse. As always, I like to give background, and when I started giving different kind of background, some of my callers called and told me that they want me to do the background kind of like we was doing it in the beginning, because it helps. So I want to give you a little background on the book of Haggai and Haggai himself and what is it all about. I need you to understand, first of all, that in the Old Testament, the Bible, in the Old Testament, all of the writings in the Old Testament was when God was speaking to his people. But what God would do was speak to a prophet to have a word for his people. And the scripture would always say is, thus saith the Lord. You see, God sent warnings, encouragement, promises, and reproach to the people about what he had done for them, what he was going to do for them, and his promises towards them. Whenever you want to hear God speaking, you must visit the books of the Old Testament. You see, Haggai was one of God's prophets. He was one of the 12 minor prophets. Remember, I told you there are 17 prophets. 12 was minor, 5 was major. And what separated the minor from the major was the amount of writing that they did. Haggai was one of the 12 minor. You know, the name Haggai is Jewish. The name Haggai is Hebrew. And because Hebrews are Jews, we could assume that Haggai was a Jew. So this is what happened. You see, in 586 B.C., which is 586 years before Christ, Jerusalem was conquered by the Babylonians under the king Nebuchadnezzar. God orchestrated and allowed it because of their disobedience. You see, Jerusalem was destroyed, and the temple that Solomon had built and everything in it was carried away. You see, you know, we all, just like those people then, it's just like us now. We go around and we do anything and everything we want. And we think that it's okay, because you know God is a long suffering God, you know. But God is not to be played with, and God said, "I am a jealous God." And if you look in the Old Testament, you will see the wrath of God falling all the time. So God was telling the Hebrews, which were the Jews, and he had chose them to be his promised people, but yet they was doing and living the way they wanted to. They wasn't taking heed to what God is saying. That's just like us in our life. God is telling us many things. And the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, even though you're not all the way in tune to it, God is still protecting you. And the Holy Ghost might say, don't do that. Don't go that way. Turn around. And people have always said, something told me not to do that. But it's not a something. It's the Spirit of God. You see, the people in Jerusalem and the Hebrews, the Jews, was not listening to what God had told them to do. God also sent a prophecy that if they don't get themselves together, that he was going to allow a nation, which was the Babylonians, to come and conquer them. and they kept doing it their way, leaning to their own understanding, going about their daily lives as if God didn't matter. So the Babylonians captured the Jews. You see, and the temple was destroyed and everything in it was carried away. And what happened at that time? The source of the Jewish pride was destroyed. The temple was known for its beauty, splendor, and magnificence. Many were killed, and those who were not killed was taken into captivity, and it was exiled to Babylon. In 536, now watch this. In 586, that's when they captured Israel, the Babylonians. But now we at 536, which is 50 years later, after their capture. You see, Nebuchadnezzar was the king, but now the king is Cyrus, and it's 50 years later. This king was moved by God. God used everything he created. That king worshiped other gods, idol gods, not the true God, but yet God was able to use him to get what he want done. That goes to show you that God is in control of everything, and everything he created, he has the right and ability to do what he want with it, when he want with it, and how he want with it. God moved King Cyrus. He touched his heart, and King Cyrus made a decree to allow the Israelites to go back to Jerusalem and build a temple. When he gave that decree, they had 4,360 Jews that returned to Jerusalem, and Haggai was among them. God was in a plan when they were captured, and he was also in a plan when they was released. You see, when they returned home, nothing was the same. It's almost like give us a little glimpse to think about, like when Katrina came and the floods came, and when we came back to see our city, nothing was the same. And this is the way they felt when they came back and their city was in ruins and nothing was the same. And the sight of their city moved them to tears, especially the older people who remembered the glory and the grandeur of Jerusalem when they were children. They returned. The king gave a decree. Haggai was with them. They returned. They began to do the work that God asked them to do, but they was unable to complete it. They forgot their purpose after a while. They lost their priorities and began to become selfish, which brought the work to a standstill. God raised up Haggai, his prophet, who called them back to God's value. And Haggai said, "It's not all about you. And it's time to set our priorities in order." That's a gist of the book of Haggai. And right now we're going to go on with the scriptures. We're going to be in Haggai 1. We're going to read the entire chapter. But right now the verses that I will read would be 1, 2, 3, and 4. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of God by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shehechi, and governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people said," this is God speaking now. What you see in the scripture, they're telling you the time, using it when the king was there, and they say that he sent Haggai to go tell the people, and this is what he told them to tell them. God said, I done heard these people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. See, Haggai came with a message that it was time, and they saying it's not time. How you like that? Don't people want to always decide when, where, how, and if they want to do something? Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying, they said it one time, and the prophets told him what God told him to tell him, and he said that God said, "It is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your cedar houses, and this house lies waste. What is he saying? He said, yeah, it ain't time for my house. My house, my temple over there just messed up. It's like wasted ruins over there. But you're going to tell me it's not time for me and my house. But you know that cedar houses mean paneled houses. And back then, panel and wood walls and things like that was really expensive. So God said, yeah, you're saying it's not time for me and mine, but it's time for you. So let's explore that a little bit. You see, Zerubbabel was the governor of Judah. You know, and if you really look at the life of Zerubbabel, you'll see that he was just like Daniel, the three Hebrew boys, and even Joseph. When they were all in captivity, for some reason, people could always see God in them, and they always excelled no matter where they went. So Zerubbabel was in captivity, but he became the governor of Judah. You see, when the king decided to allow the Jews to go back and rebuild the temple, Zerubbabel was the leader. He began the work but was unable to complete it. Only the foundation was laid. There was a lot of opposition because when they got back there, the Shunammites and different people were living in Jerusalem, even in their ruins, because the Babylon took all of the people from Jerusalem and brought them to Babylonia, and they became slaves and workers there. So people just went there and began to live. So when they went back to start building the people that was there living figured that they had some authority, and they threw in a lot of opposition and the Hebrews, because of their selfishness anyway, thinking about themselves, they fell into the trap and the work stopped. Only the foundation was laid. Many years later, Hagar received word from the Lord and tells Zerubbabel and Joshua. See, remember, Zerubbabel was the governor, and Joshua was the highest priest. And, you know, Hagar went to them with a message from God, and he told them, it's now time to finish what has been started. The people said, it is not time. So you see, these people saying that, who were the people? They were the rich people. Now watch this. Here we see that God allowed them to keep and make wealth even during their captivity. But this should let us know that God provides provisions during our trials and tribulation. You see, but when they returned to Jerusalem, they were not concerned with reconstructing the temple first, but started to build their own houses. They built their houses beautifully. They had panel with wood, and that was rare things at their time. Their walls was covered with this expensive wood, but there was nothing for the temple. First of all, they couldn't have gotten back to Jerusalem if God hadn't intervened and spoke to the king. And the wealth that they acquired while they were in captivity couldn't have happened without God. But none of that matters, you see. When people are all into themselves, they figure everything they got, they did it themselves. Everything that they have, they made it happen. You know, they're not looking at God as, thank God for giving me this, or thank God for being with me. You see, they had forgotten all that God has given to them, and they thought it was all about them. They didn't want to use any of their resources. You know, like somebody might say, well, I got a good job, but if God don't give you breath in the morning and you die, you can't go to that job. So we don't have to get it twisted. Everything that you have, everything you will ever have, everything that God allows to come into your hand. First of all, we understand that the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and the world and everyone that dwell in it. It all belongs to God. We are only stewards. And a steward is one who takes care of something that belongs to someone else until he come back again. And you see, when Jesus come back, He's going to ask you, what have you done for me lately? How did you use the talents and the gift that I gave you, the money that I gave you? It wasn't all for you. Did you share it? Did you care about somebody? You see, that's the questions going to be asked. And besides not wanting to use their time, their talents, or their time, their talents, or their resources or money, they begin to justify their behavior, saying that it was not a suitable time to reconstruct the temple. Now, who put them in control of time? The Bible says that we can't even add 1 minute to our lives. That should let us know that we are not in control. But people begin to believe that, because that's the way they live, that's the way they rock, that's the way they are. And they, just like these people right here, they begin to justify their behavior. Everything belonged to God, and we should never forget it. They were selfish, and their selfishness caused them to think that it was all about them. Their priorities was misdirected, forgetting God. Hagar appeared at this time, and God spoke through his prophet to criticize the people and stir them up to build. Hagar said, it is time for the house to be built. But he said, what are you saying, that it is time for us to build our houses and the temple still can lie in ruins? When we look at people who are selfish, we see that their number one priority is themselves, as if it's all about them. Selfishness is being concerned, sometimes excessive or exclusively, for one's own self, one's own advantage, one's own pleasure or welfare, regardless to others. You see, selfish is the opposite of selflessness, and has been contrasted with selfishness or self-centeredness. You see, the people in Hagar's time were selfish, and we live in a selfish world today. For a minute, just imagine for a little while how it would be if everyone played just a little part. Just a little part. They say we live in a world where man is doing anything that seems right in their eyes, and they're lovers of themselves. Just imagine if everyone did a little part. We're now going to go to the fifth, the sixth verse, and the scripture reads, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts. This is what I love, y'all. God sent this prophet. They say it wasn't time, but he went on to talk, and right now he's saying, consider your ways. Look what he said. Six, you have sown much and bring in little. Hallelujah. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you're never filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages, earneth wages as if to put it in a bag with a hole in it. God said, look at your life. You buy expensive clothes to look good, and then you're still not satisfied. You eat, but you can never get full. You know, this is just letting you know, you know, that nothing that you're doing is fulfilling you. You know, there's a lot of people that's walking around with a hole in their heart, and they don't know how to fill it, you know, because look what God said, consider your ways. You see, God is telling them to examine themselves. You have been taking care of yourself first, forgetting about me, but you're not getting nowhere. You see, if we look in the Bible at Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, selfish people who are only concerned about themselves usually winds up by themselves. You didn't let nobody in. You didn't go looking for nobody. You didn't extend out to nobody. So it's you, yourself, and I. So selfish people usually wind up by themselves. You see, you can only reap what has been sown. Y'all know that. You can only reap what you sow. Don't go looking for things from life and people, places, or things that you're not willing to sow. And yet some of the most selfish people have a spirit of entitlement that they deserve to get whatever they want, when, where, or how. You see, Woody told him, he said, you're planting these big crops and getting a little return. Selfish people think only of themselves sometimes to do. And they do all of the work, but they get nowhere. You eat and you're never full. You're drinking, yet you're thirsty. You have expensive clothes, but yet you can't have a warm heart. Hallelujah. Many selfish people only think about me, myself, and I. And I could make a lot of money, but God said you make the money. Come on now, watch this. And it seemed that you're putting it in a bag with a hole in it. You know these selfish people walking around, and even though they're achieving, they get nowhere. They are doing things at the world's standards. Look around and see if you know someone like that. Everybody is bound to be selfish from time to time. So that's just being human. Although many elements in our society may encourage it. You see, our element tell us something like self-preservation is the greatest law of nature. Yeah. You know, of nature, not of a human being. You know, and it takes, and it also encourages us to take care of yourself first. But, you know, everything that Satan set up, he twists good and make it look bad and take bad and make it look good. He said you have to take care of yourself first. A selfish person also end up losing friends, our loved ones, because no matter how charming or interesting a selfish person may be, a relationship with a selfish person is very hard to maintain. You see, a true selfish person would never consider the possibility that they are even selfish, because it's been them for so long, and it's all right to justify that's just the way I am, that's just what it is, and they forget that Satan has given you that perception. You took that perception that he gave you, and it's probably been so long you forgot where it came from, and neither became your reality, and you believe that that's the true way. We have to be careful. Many think selfishness and pride are good things, and that putting the needs of others above your own is only for suckers. God say, love thy neighbor as thyself. And you see, that's a simple little phrase, but when you truly love something, you have their best interest at heart. When you truly love something, you want to do everything that you could do to make their life comfortable, or try to give them some joy, or try to make them feel good. And if you see anything that they're lacking, you want to be the first person to try to hopefully fit the need that is necessary. And he said, love thy neighbor as thyself. And you might ask, well, Sister Diane, who is my neighbor? Everybody's your neighbor. I'm not talking about the people on your street to the left and the right. It's the girl down the street. It's the girl if you're out of town. It's wherever you see your need. It's a human being is your neighbor. And God said, love thy neighbor. Well, Jesus gave us that, but God said it as well. Love your neighbor as yourself. We got to stop just saying and putting it all on us, because God is working in us to work for someone else. See, in the Old Testament, God did miracles. He parted the Red Sea. He parted the Jordan rivers. He put the blood over the doorposts and let the dead angel pass over there and save the firstborn of the earth. He was doing that. He was actively with his people. He said, but once I sent my son, and my son has come here to live, And my son lived and he died. And when he died, I left my spirit, which is the Holy Ghost that's living in you, to get you to do the things that God would want you to do that are help for him to shape and mold you into your intended purpose. He's saying, I did the miracles back then, but the miracles going to have to be between you and others, towards you and you towards others. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And now we're on the second verse, the seventh verse. It said, thus said the Lord of hosts. He telling them again, consider your ways. He said, now go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. He's talking about his house. And I will take pleasure in it and I will be glorified. You need to remember one thing, everything that God created, you, me, and everyone else, he created us for his glory. And he wants to get glory out of our lives, the way we live and treat one another. He said, you build it up and I'm going to get glory, said the Lord. You look for much and lo, it came to little. And when you bought it home, I blew on it. God saying, look, man, he said, I let you plant all them crops, but you didn't get much. He said, you need to be kind of saying, well, is this something that I need to be doing? You know when you ain't having success in your life, you're supposed to try to cover all of the bases to see what you need to change and what you need to get right and what you need to fix because something is broke. That's what God's saying. Consider your ways. He said, even what you brought home, he said, I blew on it and it disappeared. Some people can't understand why they can't get nowhere. They might can't understand how did they get in a predicament that they're in now. You might be done left God out. And then he said, because of my house that is wasted, and you run every man unto his own house. And verse 10 say, therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew. Now, what that mean? He said, the heavens, you know, back then the dew came from the sky. And that's how their crops and things, you know, was watered and they stayed marched and stuff like that. He said, you know, I'm a withhold of dew. Now, that's showing power, huh? You should never think you afforded the privilege to make a bargain with God or do it your way and expect to receive his blessing. God is showing you how much power he has. You know, we say he's omnipotent. That means have all power. He said, the heaven's going to hold back the dew. Keep doing what you're doing and you're going to see what you're going to get. He said, the earth is stayed from the fruit. You're planting these trees and it ain't producing no fruit. Come on now. And I call for the drought upon the land. They ain't going to have no rain. It's going to be drought. And all of your land, all of your planting's going to be destroyed. He said, I'm going to call a drought upon the land and upon the mountains. And upon the corn. Come on now. See your corn fields? Ain't nothing going to happen. And see y'all making them grapes for that new wine? He said, ain't nothing going to happen. He's saying, y'all take them olives and make the oil, because that's where olive oil come from. He said, ain't nothing going to happen. He said, upon that which the ground bringeth forth, ain't nothing going to happen. And upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of your hand. He said, no matter what you do with your hand, ain't nothing going to prosper. You know people in your life, no matter what they do, how much they get, how where they going, what they do, they open a business, they close. They open a business and they close. They do this and this don't work and this don't work. You got to check yourself out. You see right here, God is letting them know that the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. God is saying, I'm in total control. Don't get it twisted. You're not afforded the privilege to make it up as you go. You know, there's a lot of people that I know, you know, they may tell me, Sister Diane, you know, I don't go to church, but church can't save you. You're absolutely right. But God did orchestrate going to church, because he said, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. First of all, for as the church, you need to know that you are the church. Where you go to worship is only a church building. Jesus is coming back for the church. He's not coming back for these buildings. You know, and things like that. And they, you know, sometimes they'll tell me, you know, that it don't take all of that. No, you know, it don't take all of what? But God is in control. And anybody who think they can make it with their own ability, education, resources, or who they know, or where they've been, they're fooling themselves. God is in control, and nothing happened to you or for you without God deciding the outcome. And if we go to 12, 13, 14, and 15, these are our last scriptures. And 12 verse 8, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and with all the raiments. Raiments, you know, you hear it a lot of times in the Bible. It's telling, it's like it's saying, the leftover. And when they say the remnants of the raiments, that's the people that was left. That's the people that was there. See what it say, the raiment of people, of the people? This is what happened. God told them that. See, God just came straight at them. You consider your ways. You keep doing it like you're doing, and you can only get what you got. You're going to only reap what you sow. You can only get what you get. He said, and I just gave you an order. You know, and if you take care of my business, I'm going to take care of yours. So Haggai came with this message to the people. And when those things were said, it was actually God speaking. When he said, thus said the Lord, that's what the Lord gave him to say. So therefore, the heavens will open up. And when Zerubbabel and Joshua, the priest, and the people obeyed the voice of God, obeyed the voice of their Lord God, and the words of Haggai, the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent them, the people began to fear God. And you know, plenty of times when people see this fear saying like, oh, I got to be shaking in my boots, God is a loving God. God is a kind God. And if you look back over your life and see all of the times he spared you, and when you weren't doing what you're supposed to do, you better now. And we know nobody will be perfect. But when you wasn't doing that, look how he took care of you. But when they say fear the Lord, it means give reverence unto God. Give God his credit as God. Either you're giving God credit or you think he's not credible. And it's no more to it. God say, you know, I ain't no such thing as lukewarm. He said, you're either hot or you're cold. And you can make that decision. You have to make that decision. He said, after the prophet came, he talked to the people began to fear. They could start getting fear and saying, you know, God is a good God, and they probably remembers when he parted the Red Sea for them, and then they begin to remember when he allowed the death angel to pass over their doorposts and didn't kill their firstborn, and they thought about how he went with them in battle, you know, and they thought about how he saved their children, and you know, even in our lives today, you could think about the time you didn't have no money, and yet you was able to eat, and you didn't have nowhere. Some people may not have nowhere to stay, but you still made it. And they began to think about all of these things, and they began to fear before God, and they began to give him reverence. In the 13th chapter, say, when Haggai then spoke the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am you, I am with you, said the Lord. See, soon as they began to show reverence, come on now, and God was only waiting for them, because you remember God was going to bless them and had been blessing them anyway. Because you see, when God makes a promise, he makes sure that he take care of it. You see, God promised the Israelites that land. He promised it to Abraham. Hallelujah. And he told him that your seeds will be more than the sands by the shore. And Abraham couldn't understand it because he didn't have no child. He was without child, and he was 900 years old. But God said it, and it did come to pass, because Sarah and Abraham had a baby in old age, and Abraham became the father of many nations. Come on now, y'all. And you see, this is still part of the promise, but God had to set them down, you know, because they was doing what they want, when they want, how they want, because who they thought, who they want, who they was, and they was, you know, just doing it their way, and they thought it was all about him. He said, if you don't straighten your ways, I'm going to let the Babylonians take you. So God, you know, rose up the Babylonian, which was the enemy against the people. God is really giving us chance after chance after chance, but you don't know when he's going to put the wrath of God upon you. Because you're not in control of that. You're going to keep doing what you want to do and then expect God to wait till you get ready to make a difference. You're not in control. We are not in control. And 14 said, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the high priest, and the spirit of all the raiments of people, and they came and did the work in the house of the Lord, their God. And it was on the 4th and 20th day of the 6th month. If you were paying attention, or as you read before, when it opened up, it was the 2nd year of King Darius. It was the 6th month and the 1st day. When this last scripture is read, they say it was on the 4th and the fourth and twentieth day of the 6th month. So, and when it started, they was in a 6th month, and it was on the 1st day. So it was, if it's the 6th month, when they started off, they was in a 6th month, and it was the 1st day of the month. And when this happened, when they got to work after hearing it, they say it on verse 15, and on the 4th and 20th day of the 6th month in the 2nd year of Darius the king. So that's when they really, really, really got it. And they were showing you the difference in time. You know, that's when they got it. After the king, after Haggai came and brought him the message from God. Now, with all this being said, God is saying, now that you decided to take care of my business and give me the glory that I deserve, I will take care of you. God is always waiting for you with open arms. When we look at the scriptures about the prodigal son, the prodigal son went out and did everything he wanted to do. But when he came and got his senses, he came home, and his dad welcomed him with open arms. God said, if you take care of my business, I'll take care of you. Once the people decided to obey the commands of God, God released the hold he have on them. Yeah, he put a hold on them. And before he did it, he told him, if y'all don't get right, I'm going to let y'all do y'all thing, but now I'm going to do my thing. And you can't be mad with God for that. God said, whenever, you know, and people think that they even up with God, or they could figure out what God should do, how he should do it. Just like God told Job. He said, you ever made thunder roll? He said, have you ever took the sun and made it stay in the sky? And, you know, when the time for the sun to go down and let the moon come up, do you keep any of these waters in their boundaries? So how you think you could be even up with God, or you got that much sense, or got that much going on that you can make decisions so critical like this? Satan is putting blinders on us, the best of us. We won't be perfect, but we need to be God conscious. We need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and allow God to mold and shape us into the intended purpose that he has for us. And you got to remember your time, your talent, and your resources. We are only stewards. Everything that God has given you is not just for you, because everything belongs to God. Your time, your talent, and your resources. How could you, in good conscience, leave God out of everything that you do as if you are in control? And if you keep doing it like you're doing it, you can only get what you got. And when you get what you got, be satisfied with it. And see, most people, when they get what they got, they can't take it. And the first thing they holler, Lord, God. See, what's happening, they know of God, but they don't truly know God. And yet they think their life is okay. You will never know who you are until you totally know who your maker is. You see, nothing happens unless God orchestrates or allow it to happen. When we leave God out of the picture, we get what we got. Everything that you have is never just for you. And the Holy Ghost is constantly directing you into you becoming your best. And as I close tonight, you know, the Bible say, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to realize that we have to renew our mind. It's not that I can just say, oh, I'm not going to be selfish. It's a mind thing. Selfishness as well as selflessness, it's a state of mind. Most people are set in their ways, and they don't even realize that they're only concerned with themselves. And they're not bad people, but they haven't transformed their mind to extend to others. I guess you could call that a closed mind. But they're not bad people, but they just haven't transformed their mind into realizing that it's not all about them. And yes, it is time for all of us to get our priorities in order. You know, that's our lesson for tonight. And if anybody have any comments, questions, or concern, or if they want to pray or ask for prayer for someone else, you know, as always, you could press the one button on your phone, and I can open up your mic and everyone could hear you. You know, if you have something to say, you know. Yesterday was fun time in the city. Mardi Gras was going around, and everybody was having a good time. And I want you to know, God didn't design us to live on earth and not have a good time. We got to have balance. God is a fun-loving God, because don't you realize everything was created by him, and he also created fun? He also created everything for us to have a good time. You know, he put it on the hearts and the mind of people to be able to make all these different kind of cars so we could have variety. God is a God like that. But he do want his props. He do demand his respect. And he is a jealous God. And yes, it is time for us to set our priorities right. And for those who are not selfish, if you keep doing unselfish acts, you don't know how you could draw someone else in to becoming the same. You know, the word of God said, let your light so shine that men could see the good works and glorify the Father. You see, our light shining is by our deeds and action and service. You know, I heard somewhere down the line that, you know, when you do service, you're paying the rent for living on this earth. And if you're not paying your rent, you're taking up space. And service is what we pay with. Hallelujah. That's the lesson for tonight. Any comments or concerns? Anybody would like to say anything, add anything? Remember the prayer line, 504-289-9501 is the prayer line number. And as always, it's a privilege as well as an honor to come before you guys on Wednesday night. I'm going to go ahead and lead us out in prayer because right now it's 9:26. I always try to end 1 hour, 9:30, and then we'll be able to go off the air. So if anyone have anything to say, I'm going to go ahead and do the prayer. Plenty of people like music after the prayer. But once the prayer and the benediction has gone forth, for those who have to leave, because I know it's late, you can leave, and those who would like to stay, stay. So right now we go into the throne of grace. Dear Heavenly Father, precious God, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for allowing us to come together Wednesday after Wednesday to explore the Word of God together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, I tell the people all the time, I can only give information. The Holy Spirit give illumination and revelation, dear God. And, dear God, I'm asking that you touch everybody that's on the phone, those who had a desire to call, and those who don't even know, touch them that they may call, dear God. Heavenly Father, bless everybody with the blessings that they desire in their heart. Lord, some may need finances, some may need a healing, dear God. Some may just need a word of encouragement. Heavenly Father, you're using each one of us to reach one of us. But we can't do it with a selfish attitude, dear God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. I thank you for your Son and your Spirit. I thank you for Wednesday night inspiration and allowing me to go before your people, dear God. I thank you for the going down of the sun and coming up of the same, dear God, because you're worthy to be praised. Dear Heavenly Father, we can't make it without you, and because of you, we are who we are. Lord, we realize day by day we'll never know who we are until we truly know who our Maker is. God, you have all kind of promises in store for your people. We thank you for your word, dear God, because that's when we could hear you talking to us. And thank you for allowing us to pray, because that's us talking to you. Lord, we need you and can't live without you. And all of these blessings and others, in Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Hallelujah. And I know everybody's going to be calling and say, where Madison at? Madison is with his friend having play dates. And, of course, he probably got busy, but he's going to be back with us maybe next week or the other week. So y'all continue to pray for Madison. And remember, continue to pray for Cynthia Sanders, and continue to pray for Jeanette Clark, and continue to pray for Sister Art. Hallelujah. Sister Art was in the hospital, but she's at home resting now. Keep her in your prayer, dear God, and pray for Sister Hawkins, dear God, and y'all just pray for one another. These people call in and ask for prayer. So when you pray on your own time, remember these people who need this prayer, because you see the effective firm prayer of the righteousness availeth much. Please, Lord Jesus, let us be praying for one another, because they say prayer changes things. And if you know anybody or you would like prayer, press the one button on your phone and we'll include you on that prayer list. Well, that's our program for tonight. And I pray that the word of God, oh, I have a caller. Caller, your number is 504-241. Your mic is open, and you could begin to speak.
thanking God for allowing me to come into this Bible study tonight. I really enjoyed it. It opened my heart up to a lot of stuff that I didn't know, and I just thank God for you, and I love you, and tonight's Bible study was awesome. Your prayer was awesome, and I was going to ask you what happened to Madison. But thank God for allowing me to be here tonight. I enjoyed every second. God bless you.
Thank you, Cynthia Sanders. I've learned your voice over the period of time, and I know you besides that, but thank you for the words of encouragement. We have another caller that want to speak. Their number is 985-77471. Your mic is open.
Hi, this is Diane. I just want to say that I really enjoyed the lesson tonight, and it just reminds us that we are service people. We should be sharing the word and doing service for other people. And also, it's like if you're going through a problem and it's the same problem or something, if you can't get over it yourself, just say some prayers that maybe God can get you over that problem, so that you can get on the other side of His good side, to where you're doing the correct and right thing, so that you can receive His blessings fully. And that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you so much, Sister McBride. And for those, if you, some people are writing a list of all of the people asked for prayer so they wouldn't forget. Remember, we have Sister McBride's name on the list. She had her surgery with her hip, and her husband had a surgery as well. And we always pray for her two sons, and we also have her grandson on the prayer list. So we're not going to forget about them either. So we're going to keep praying for one another, because that's what God wants us to do. If there are any more comments or concerns, is it anything else anyone would like to add to it? Remember, you could press the one button on your phone. And that's our program for tonight. And the prayer has gone forth, and God is in control. And I'm going to just play this record, because you see, sometimes, just like Jesus, when Jesus went to his hometown, nobody gave him honor, because they say, oh, it's just, you know, Joseph and Mary boy. But sometimes we have to learn to encourage ourselves, and that's the record I'm going to play. And after the record is finished, we will end the program for tonight. Everybody be blessed, and I'll come back after the song. Thank you.
You feel
compliment. You gotta encourage yourself in the Lord. Hallelujah. And I thank each and every one of you for calling in on today, tonight. And I pray that God be with you. And if it's the Lord's will, we'll meet back again. For those that are still on the line, I want you to know that God allowed this. 2 days from now is going to make the third year we've been on the air. And many of you have been calling every Wednesday since I've been on the air. And God finds favor in that. So you all be blessed. I want to let you know that God loves you, and I do too. And if it's God's will, we'll meet back together on Wednesday. You be blessed. And all of us begin to realize and remember that it is our responsibility to pray for one another. And that's our program for tonight. Be blessed. Good night.